Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning for this Tuesday, the 29th of September. Very nice to have you with us, as it is each and every day. It is a rainy day today. It is just a good old-fashioned rainy day.
I love it.
Yeah. Well, we need it, A. And B, we haven't had a lot of them, so we can put up with it.
I enjoy it.
What do you like about it?
It's sedating.
Yeah.
It's calming. It's, nice.
Rosemary?
I prefer sunshine.
Okay, that's our first topic. We'll go with that. Let me introduce the panel to you, and then
You're
we'll get
wrong.
Started. Wrong. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Our little ray of sunshine.
Thank you, Joseph. I appreciate those very nice comments.
Times Union Associate Editor Mike Spain is with us, as he is each and every Tuesday and whenever we can beg him to be here. Good morning. And University at Albany Journalism Professor and Investigative Reporter Rosemary Armeo. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Let me start off with what happened yesterday. We heard from the president. The president spoke. We were told from NPR that at 10:30 the president would take to the podium and would speak for 10 or 15 minutes. And at 10:20 he got up and spoke for an hour. And
and his program directors.
Yes, it was.
Cool.
And nobody gave him the hook.
Made us very happy. But he had a lot of interesting things to say, so we'll talk about that. Also, of course, while this was happening, the elephant in the room was, what is it going to be like when he sits down with Vladimir Putin? And so they certainly traded criticisms during their individual speeches. And then when they met, I don't know how else to describe it. It just seemed as if perhaps tense would be a word.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it didn't go particularly well. Although I don't know how you would expect it to really go any.
Do you think they talked about the WAMC lockbox?
That was a particularly clumsy segue.
Well, segue or not, that's where we live.
Yeah, I was going to do it coming out of the break, but if you want to do that now, that's fine.
How about now and coming out of the break and at the end of the show?
Okay, all right. So for screw Russia, this is how much we have in the lockbox, $143,012.80.
How much?
$143,012.80.
Well, we only have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and first thing Monday morning to bring us up to that $300,000 mark.
That's
so
right.
Everybody's got to get really
now,
hopping here.
Here's the thing: we made $10,000 yesterday.
Yeah, but look, I just don't want anybody. Look, I've said it before. I'll say it again. It happened this weekend. Somebody comes up and says, "The lockbox is wonderful." I ask if they put anything in. They say no.
Blah 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 blah.
Yeah, blah, 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 blah blah blah. So, you can't have it both ways. I love you all, and I know you're going to do what's right, and I'm depending on you to do it. But we got to do it now.
So you can pledge online, WAMC.org. You can also go to the phone and dial 800-323-9262, 800-323-9262.
And Joe, and one other thing that I thought I'd mention, and that is there's another way to send us money or to send your money in, and that is called mail. Remember mail?
U.S. mail?
U.S. mail.
U.S. mail.
318 Central Avenue.
Albany, New York.
12206.
That's it.
Yeah.
WAMC, 318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206. You know how you feel when it was around your birthday and you used to get, the cards and then you'd shake them for the check or the cash to come out from your aunt in Buffalo? Well, this is how we feel when we get the mail.
Oh boy. Ooh. Everybody stands around.
Live one. Yeah. We got
so
some.
You get a lot of the traditional snail mail checks and stuff?
Oh, don't say snail mail.
No, sorry. You can't.
Oh, we'll get letters.
Somebody from the postal officials don't
postal
like
postal officials
that.
Don't,
they don't
like snail mail.
Mail
because it's not because you.
It's a little pejorative.
It's pejorative.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
They are right in the sense that if you put a
letter on a snail. It will take longer than it takes a male person to
That's right, Mike. But if someone in our region were to put a check in the mail today, we would probably get it tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is, that's very quick.
Well, so, wait, do they actually call up and complain, though?
Yes, yes. All the time.
I want to say I apologize to the United States Postal Service.
Yes, no, they do. They do. And you know, to call it snail mail is really bad. We shouldn't do it.
Well, it's just because, relatively speaking, we're used to that instant flash of a message
right.
that you get on your phone.
Our mailman in Great Barrington on our street.
What's his name?
I think that would be appropriate, but I can tell you that he and his mother listen to the station all the time.
I just meant
And his
name.
Mother loves the station especially. That's true.
God grabbed his throat.
God grabbed my throat for
God
saying something nice about this woman.
Your throat.
That's great. I love that.
Well, snail mail is incredibly inventive and creative, which is a sign of the internet. Something the U.S. postal system is not.
Okay, so here's the
We've
thing.
We've gone far afield from.
Well, you know, WAMC.org. 800-323-9262, or you can mail a check to 318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206, and the post office will get it to us very quickly.
And I'm scared. Joe, you were saying something about the Russians?
yeah, they...
They're known for having a very slow mail system, I know.
Yes. Speaking
Do they
of,
eat snails? I
speaking
think they
of
do.
Snails,
Those
isn't
are the
that French.
French?
Yes.
French, yes.
So the leaders of the United States and Russia traded blunt criticisms on Monday at the United Nations, essentially blaming each other for the catastrophic war in Syria and the refugee crisis that helped to spawn. The speeches of President Obama, followed more than an hour later by President Vladimir Putin of Russia, dominated the opening of the annual General Assembly of World Leaders. Mr. Obama made a forceful defense of diplomacy, but also castigated Russia by name multiple times in a speech for its defense of the Syrian government, its takeover of Crimea, and its action supporting Ukrainian rebels.
I suspect this president knows that he has been criticized by the Republican right for not being aggressive enough, not being tough enough. That's something the Democrats have always had to live with, even though it ain't true. You know, you could take a look and see Harry Truman and so many others since that time. But that is what they say. And to some degree, it sticks. I'm sure he's a little bit sensitive about that. And this is a golden opportunity for him to put an end to the lie.
Well, it is pretty much true. The United States gave Russia no more than a slap on the hand, if that, for Crimea. Kicked him out of the, you know, the big country parties. That's all they've done. And even going to the UN and spouting off for an hour is not really going to hurt Putin.
So
the Republican criticism on that point is true.
Whoa. What would you have done in Crimea?
In Crimea, I would have enlisted NATO. That's one of the places where I think that we actually should have gotten involved, unlike most of the places in the Middle East where we actually have gotten involved.
And so the potential for a war?
For a war is just as great in Syria now, too.
But the potential for war
is something that the commander-in-chief is supposed to manage. I think what was going on in the UN yesterday had a lot more to do with the discussions away from the podium. And it seems to me in reading what's going on that the military, both in the United States and the Soviet Union, need some mechanism to get together and start coordinating or at least staying out of each other's way in Syria. And I think that's what yesterday was really about.
But did the president's firm position against Bashar al-Assad, staying in power, interfere with that plan? I think people were speculating last week when the military leaders from the U.S. and Russia got together that there would be the U.S. would kind of hold its nose and turn its head away and back Assad enough, at least, until we can get rid of ISIS and then have an orderly transition and get him out. And that doesn't sound like that's what's
going to
happen.
No, and in fact, I did not think that was going on. I think that Russia's going to go along with getting rid of him, and they're going to put in something else that that's amenable to both the United States and Russia.
He hinted at that. Putin hinted at that.
I think that's what's really going on. I don't think Assad is long to live, long to stay in power, let me put it that way.
Probably Crimea.
But I thought that, 3 years ago, too, this has been going on an awfully long time.
So. Well, that's exactly right. It's interesting to think about what's going on behind the scenes at the UN and the real negotiations that are going on, and whether this is just rhetoric to give each other cover back home.
Right, and I think the same is true with the United States and Cuba. Raul was pretty mean to the United States in that speech, too, and I don't think that's what they're really talking about behind the scenes.
You know, when these long-heralded meetings occur, quite frequently there is an agenda and a resolution that have been worked out before the two people sit down.
Right.
And that hasn't happened in this case. You know, I mean, as you say, Rosemary, maybe this is helpful to Putin with his nationalism that he's been pushing in his own country. You know, our guy stood up to him. You know, I hate to say this, but because I know that somebody won't like it, but I don't think Putin is all wrong about everything he says.
Oh no, he's a lot right about it. There was antagonism by the West in Ukraine, but then he hit back really hard, and the West disappeared, and we've left Ukraine there.
He went all the way back to the U.S. going into Iraq, and you know, a lot of Americans agree with him on that. Really, when you think about it, that it was a mistake.
Yeah, I've always disagreed with the Putin is crazy argument. I think he's mean and very ruthless, but I don't think he's crazy or stupid.
Gardner Harris, who wrote the article in this morning's New York Times about the meeting, was also the pool reporter yesterday and was sending dispatches in the pool reports throughout the day, updating the press as to what was going on. And during the meeting, which was only expected to last for about a half hour, it lasted over an hour and a half. When it finally ended, he just dispatched in his pool report number 7, which simply said 90 minutes of nyet.
Poetic.
Yeah, so we don't, but Alan's right, we don't really know what came out of that.
Yeah, how much of it is theater and how much of it is real?
Yeah.
Once again, leading me to say, how can you have a democracy if major decisions are being made that we have no understanding of, and we probably will never have any understanding of, maybe 50 years from now? So how do we know
that decisions are being made, though?
I'm assuming that when these guys talk to each other, on occasion, there are things that are agreed to. When we see things like WikiLeaks and other things that keep showing this kind of agreements, then we know that how can we possibly know who to vote for in a—
Well, how many years after the Cuban Missile Crisis did the story come out that we essentially in the back—
Gave up.
You know, gave up, you know, putting missiles in Turkey, and
exactly.
we agreed to all these things on the side that wasn't articulated at the time.
Exactly.
And allowed each other to back out gracefully and save their face back home. I mean, how much of that is going on now? It really makes you wonder if any of that is going on and what that story will ultimately be. But in today's modern age, we'll probably find out about it next week, not in 20 years, you know.
We are let's take a break. We'll come back and go to a couple letters, and then we'll take a news break at the bottom of the hour. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Support comes from Berkshire Botanical Gardens, seeking volunteers to help with its 81st annual Harvest Festival Friday and Saturday, October 10th and 11th. BerkshireBotanical.org for information. Boudoir, Baby Fine Nursery and Children's Furnishing, Saugerties, with modern and traditional cribs, organic mattresses for babies, dressers, gliders, shower gift registries, and more. Boudoir-baby.com. Berkshire Medical Center's Joint Replacement Program, Private Rooms, Pre-Surgical Education and Rehabilitation, Program Coordinator, and 10 Orthopedic Surgeons, 413-395-7680. And the Adirondack Museum at Blue Mountain Lake, presenting their Fall Fest and Fiber Arts Fair, Saturday, October 3rd, with fiber arts exhibitors and activities for children and adults. AdirondackMuseum.org for details.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. Go to a couple letters, and then we'll take a news break at the bottom of the hour and come back and tackle some more issues in the news today. Alan?
Yes. Okay. We're going to read a couple of letters here. Michael says, the Republicans are such hypocrites. Wasn't George W. Bush and Putin buddy buddies? And that was from Michael.
They saw eye to eye.
Yeah, well, he looked into his eyes. Yes, you're quite right. You're quite right. And then Jerry says, hi, Alan. The fellow who suggested that payment of school taxes as a potential drag to fundraising presented the perfect opportunity to suggest regular automatic monthly contributions. It works for me. And a lot of people doing that now. They just have regular, they sign up. What do they call that, Joe?
It's monthly payments.
Automatic withdrawal.
Yeah.
No, that's what it's called. But there's a name we have it for. But anyway, what kind of
An installment?
No.
A little bit at a time.
Right. There's a name for it. Okay. Okay. And then...
Chipping away?
And then... and then this morning's comment says, Liam, that your listeners need information to help awaken them rather than lullabies and fairy tales to lull them back to sleep. I'm sure you would agree. And then it goes on and on and on. So, and it was... But it's signed respectfully. So, fine. That is what I see. Do you see anything else, Joe?
No, I'll check. We're going to take a break, and then we'll come back. I actually have a lot here, but I'm not sure how much is double or new. So we'll check that out, and we'll be back. We'll continue our conversation. We welcome your letters, your thoughts, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. Alan and Rosemary and Mike and Joe, we're all here. We welcome your comments. Roundtable@wamc.org. We will return after this news from the BBC. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Joe Donahue. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Mike Spain are here, and we welcome your comments at roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. Let us move on to other topics, if we may, and find out what else is going on in the world. We do want to talk about, on Friday and Monday, we spoke about Speaker Boehner stepping down at the end of October. October 30th will be the day that he will resign. Representative Kevin McCarthy, as we mentioned yesterday, the Republican of California, is interested in the job. He made it official. He sent a letter to his House Republican colleagues formally declaring that he will run to succeed the outgoing Speaker. The House Majority Leader, considered the frontrunner to succeed Boehner since the surprise resignation announcement, spent the weekend talking to colleagues and gathering support. He promised his colleagues that he would run a very inclusive leadership team. Does he have a fight on his hands?
Sure. Of course, nothing has changed except John Boehner's gone.
No, but for the leadership?
I mean,
for the job?
The right-wingers will put up, the conservatives will put up a candidate, this guy from Florida, whatever his name is.
Daniel
they
Webster.
Like him.
Yeah, he's very articulate.
Yeah, yes. And he'll make a big fuss, and people will say, that. But McCarthy will win. And McCarthy will be there, and as our distinguished panelists just said, and nothing will have changed, because that is exactly where they forced one guy out. They took their victory laps. They said, well, we couldn't wait to get rid of him. But in the end, the same division will be there. And for the guys who are running in these right-wing primaries, there is nothing else they can do except to continually yell about how their leadership is selling them out. Otherwise, they don't win the primary.
Yeah, I mean, do you really think that Kevin McCarthy is going to come in and try to unite the entire Republican conference and negotiate and try to make progress and get bills passed and get legislation going? No, I mean, what the conservatives want him to do is come in and stop everything, you know, put a hold on everything. And he's got a tough job ahead of him. He seems like somebody who might actually secretly want to make progress and things happen, but
well, that was true of Boehner too.
Yeah. Oh, Boehner, absolutely.
I think Boehner did. McCarthy actually is a bit closer to the conservatives than we have lost one more Republican moderate with Boehner.
But when you get there, Rosemary, when you get there, and you are confronted with being a person, a statesman, as opposed to a cheap tinhorn politician. You're gonna know that you're gonna go down in history one way or the other, And people rise to the occasion most of the time.
It is interesting. I don't think he's a match for the minority leader. I think the Democrats end up much more disciplined and maybe could be more effective as Republicans continue to splinter under McCarthy.
So you're a big fan of Nancy Pelosi, right?
Yeah, I am.
But you know, of course, that they send out the Republicans, and I get them, send out these constant blasts, email blasts, probably sensing that she is not a popular person in our politics, although I have to say I've seen less of it lately than before.
Well, she was a big target in the last election because she, you know, she stands up for Obama policies. But she's pretty effective, and the Democrats have kept her even after she lost, even after they lost the majority.
Well, that's so interesting that you say that.
I think she's an effective leader.
Yeah,
in
she's an effective leader, but not effective to keep them in power.
Well, that was out of
two
her
different
control.
Things.
But she controls her conference. They're disciplined. They stand behind her. There's a lot of infighting, obviously, but they do stick together when it comes to vote as a block, and that has gotten what little legislation and program has gotten through in the last couple of years. That's been key to it.
So do you
Pelosi
think she
has been very key to that, right?
So you think she gets the credit for that, or that the Republicans, who are take no prisoners, the line in the sand, are responsible for the Democratic response, which is, if you guys are going to continue to do that, we're gonna fight you on the beaches.
Well, I mean, it's hard to answer that, Alan. I think that Pelosi has taken advantage of the mess in the Republican Party.
How has she taken advantage?
Well, she's kept her conference united.
Why do you want to give her no credit for anything?
No, I didn't say that.
Sounds like
I give her credit. She's there.
I don't think
she deserves the credit you're trying to heap on her, Rosemary, because I don't think that the Democrats have done that well. And there's no real chance that they're going to win the House, which they lost back. And it's her leadership.
But how does her leadership play into local elections in gerrymandered districts across Texas and
more
Midwest,
to that? If you're going to put a higher blame on loss, it goes to a Democratic president, not to the Democratic head of the lower house.
You know, you liberals are all alike.
Oh my gosh!
You'll make.
He's just trying to make a fight.
I am.
Well,
I am.
Kevin McCarthy, how do you think he's going to be, Alan? Do you think he's going to try to unite his conference and try to bring together the
He'll try, but he won't win because they're in a bad spot.
Right.
They're in a bad spot. But I do think that, you know...
By the way, did you see what Mike just did there?
No.
It was wonderful deflection. That was great. Just changed it right to McCarthy. That was good.
Well, we're talking about McCarthy or who's going to succeed John Boehner.
Yeah.
And will he be any more successful or will he be successful as Boehner was not in basically breaking that block of 40 or so conservative
Republicans?
Well,
does he have an interest in doing that? Boehner did have an interest in breaking the block and
good
holding
question.
Them in control. I'm not so convinced that McCarthy does. I think he's in cahoots with them.
Yeah.
Time will tell.
Yeah,
we just heard from Peter, who had a very interesting thing to say. Peter said, these guys don't want Kevin McCarthy. They want Joe McCarthy.
His Uncle Joe, right? He is not the nephew of Joe McCarthy. I should correct myself. That was a joke I made.
Sure.
Watch those frivolous
and comments. Isn't this interesting? Tom wrote, related to Joe, ? And these are the separate ones.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who took over is, do we know who's going after Boehner's seat in Ohio?
In Ohio.
I don't know.
That'd be interesting to see if that generates another of the real arch conservatives, or you might get a moderate in there.
Well, NPR actually went into the district and asked a lot of people that question. Some people really liked him. He was their hometown boy and a hero. But there were a lot of them who said, he hasn't really done what he was supposed to. He hasn't really been the conservative that he was supposed to be. And there were several of them.
Yeah, it's hard to know from an anecdotal, kind of
study.
Report like that.
Yeah. We need another poll. I'm sure we'll have 50 of them next week.
All right, let's go to other topics, and we'll talk about the story, of course, happening in what happened in Afghanistan. Taliban insurgents fought their way into a major city in northern Afghanistan on Monday, driving back stunned security forces in a multi-pronged attack that also sent Afghan officials and UN personnel fleeing for safety. The fall would be a huge blow to a Western-backed government in Kabul and would give Taliban insurgents a critical base of operations beyond their traditional strongholds in Afghanistan's south. Afghan government leaders and the U.S.-led coalition view the battle for the city as a key test of the Afghan security forces in their continuing fight with the Taliban.
Not good news.
No, not good news at all.
Well, they'll get them out of there, in my opinion, because you have everybody with an interest in getting them out of there. But there are going to be civilian casualties of that. There is no question. And
And who will be blamed for those? The U.S. forces that provide air coverage?
A lot of it's going to be air.
Mm-hmm. Will the Afghanistan army be any better than the Iraqi army was after the U.S. pulled out of Iraq, which it wasn't. It was terrible.
I'm going to take a guess at that.
Yeah.
No.
The fall shows you again the tremendous difficulties of for outsiders like us in the Middle East. Did we know this was coming? And the Taliban is a whole separate force from ISIS, although we tend to see them all together. They don't work together. There's some competition there, and we're enemies with all of them. It's huge and complicated.
Well, we are enemies of all of them, but as I've said ad nauseum again and again, we are the people who insist on getting into these things without knowing what the end play is. As I often quoted Mario Cuomo, he said, "You got to know if you're a good politician, you got to be able to move six moves in advance."
Well, that's right.
And we don't.
No, when we went into Afghanistan after 9/11, just months after 9/11, people said we might be there 10 years, and that just seemed unbelievable. Well, here it is 12 years later, and this is what's going on.
A new study out showing that some 250 Americans have left the United States, have not actually been caught, and gone to join ISIS. So there's some, scarily to me, there is a lot of sympathy for what is it that they're doing in the Middle East, trying to set up pre-World War boundaries again. Bring back the Ottoman Empire.
That's funny.
Establish a caliphate.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. We'll come back and do our last segment and get to a few more issues and some letters as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Norman Rockwell Museum, Stockbridge, Massachusetts, presenting Meet Rockwell's Models, a talk on Friday, October 2nd at 2:30 p.m., nrm.org. Barley, hops, and grapes, Red Hook, a homebrewing beer and winemaking supply store, specializing in equipment and Hudson Valley hops and grains, barleyhopsandgrapes.com. The Opalka Gallery at the Sage Colleges, now hosting From Concept to Console, Art and Aesthetics in Video Game Design, and Related Films and Events, sage.edu/opalka. And Troy Savings Bank Music Hall, presenting the Ukulele Orchestra of Great Britain, 30 Plucking Years, Friday, October 9th at 8 p.m., troymusichall.org.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. And we'll go to some letters and then we'll go to some other topics as well.
Fitzhugh takes me to great task and says, hello, roundtable. Alan's comment about Nancy Pelosi being somehow responsible for the Democrats not being able to win a House majority was off the mark. The truth of the matter is Republican governors and state houses have so gerrymandered congressional districts that a Democratic majority is currently unwinnable, waiting for the next census. thanks for a great program. You can wait all you want for the next census, but they're going to do the same thing.
Yeah, but still Republican governors in charge of the reapportionment.
They go to the – they have a computer that takes up five city blocks, and they go and say, oh, great computer.
You can now squeeze that to an app on your iPhone.
I know.
Draw me districts where we cannot lose. And so it's done.
Yeah, Democratic governors don't do that.
No, of course not.
Oh, no, not in New York. You don't see any playing around politics with reapportionment.
And Ted said, what happened to the American people's desire to staying out of other people's business? You go, Ted. That America should not be the world's police. Hada, hada, hada. That's what he said. Okay. And we got Fitzhugh in already. And like that. I'm going to read this, although I probably shouldn't because I haven't read it in advance. Trudy says, hi, all. Today is an example of why I am glad the music is not played for long. Smile. I can't help but think of Boehner. Fell on his proverbial sword for nothing. Possible shutdown December 11th instead of a couple of days. And that's thanks from Trudy. And let's see here. And Meddens says, Kevin McCarthy, Dana Milbank of the Washington Post has been tracking McCarthy's inability to speak word salad. He knows nothing. All right. And Jeff says, From Russia with Love was a very hip choice for bumper music. J.E. Perhaps putting on the Ritz. Putting on the Ritz, game.
Oh, Putin.
Yeah,
Putin on the Ritz.
Putin on the Ritz,
Very clever.
Yeah. Oh, and then Robert wrote, who writes a lot, that he was concerned about Joyce Mitchell's sentence, 2 to 7 years with a third potentially knocked off for good behavior. That's only 60 months, hardly a fair sentence for aiding two murderers. All right. And let's see. Let's see. We've had 14 people reminding us that when you give money for the whole year, you give 1 month and they take it out on a regular basis. It's a sustaining membership. Absolutely true. Hold your calls. And let's see. I guess that's it, Joe. You see anything else?
Not from anybody new, no. Okay. Okay, so let's move on.
Oh, wait, one thing. Joe says, Putin will never allow a Sunni state on its doorstep. He has quite a problem with Chechnya rebels who are Sunni, Assad of Syria, as well as Iran, and the current government of Iraq are Shia. He will do whatever it takes to defeat ISIS, including very ruthless things we are too cowardly to do, he says.
Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. You mentioned app a few minutes ago, Mike. I got my new iPhone. Now I can play the lottery.
That's right. We have a story today by Matt Hamilton that talks about buying a lottery ticket has become as easy as sending a text message. It's a smartphone app by a private company called Jackpocket. And New Yorkers can now log in, you know, get the app, download it, and log in and set up their credit card or whatever. And then they can pick lottery numbers. And the way it works is this private company will then have someone buy a lottery ticket with the numbers that you picked, scan the lottery ticket, and then text it back to you.
Maybe.
And then if you win, you know, they'll mail it to you also by the very quick U.S. mail system. And when you get it, you have a year, you know, to claim your lottery winnings, so that's good. And you can take it in, and they're not charging any surcharge at this point. But the real story behind this is they're trying to find ways to get millennials to bet the way that their elders have bet. And, you know, the lottery money goes to support public services like education in New York. And they're trying to, they say there's a public service aspect to this app. They're trying to keep those monies flowing. There'll probably be a profit margin in there for this Jackpocket company at one point. But I think they're right that we want a push-button world. We want to be able to do whatever we do. The state legislature next session is going to be talking about how they're going to manage online gambling. And what that's going to do to the casinos that are all under construction across New York State, and how young people's habits, I mean, the explosion of fantasy sports and football and things like that just shows that it's a very quickly evolving world out there, and people want to be able to do it conveniently at their own terminal or on their own device, and they don't really want to go sit in casinos necessarily.
I predict there will be a disaster as a result of this thing. and that somebody, I predict, will
You mean these apps for betting?
Yeah, mm-hmm. will go to jail. I predict.
Hmm. But the spokesman for the lottery said that the state is aware of Jackpocket and is reviewing the app, but he noted it's no way affiliated with the New York State Lottery.
Well, wouldn't it be it would just seem to make more sense, right, if the
New York
state
Lottery just
actually did it?
Did their own app?
Right. And then if the ticket won, then you just apply it to the account.
To the account and go right back onto your
voucher whatever. That would seem to make more sense. Because as technological as this sounds, it still involves
snail mail.
A person going and buying your ticket.
I know, it does.
And that, of course.
So they're obviously located next to a convenience store.
And that, of course, leaves all kinds of unanswered questions.
Yeah.
Like the clerk who's sitting there realizes you've won $1 million on your thing and says, well
that you have the facsimile and then you have the actual ticket at one point.
Right.
So you can cash that.
Now
there has been history of like clerks gaming people who come in to collect their money and say, oh, no, you didn't win $1 million. You just won $1,000. Here it is. And then take the ticket and cash it themselves. I mean, it happens. So there's no way to block dishonest people from being dishonest.
Will
you
they
can
take,
just make it more difficult for them.
Mike, will they take, did you in your research, did you find out whether they would take a certain amount of money out of your
business? Yeah, there's quite
a certain amount of money. A certain amount of money for the milk money for the family, you know, so that the kids could have a glass of milk as opposed to their wanton parents. Is wanton the right thing other than soup?
Well,
I don't know. You're so far off, Alan. Use any word you want.
That's not nice.
It goes back to the according to the story and the company Jackpocket, it goes back to the bettor, and it's up to that bettor to decide what they're going to do with.
Now,
the
with that, okay. So I'm sorry. I'm just curious about this because to me the one plus to this is that you win. And then you lost a ticket somewhere, or you know it's up on your, you know, on your shelf somewhere, and you don't ever check to see if you've won, which happens because there's
all the time
millions of dollars that goes unclaimed
every year.
Yeah. So my question is that this doesn't go as oh by the way you won. It's still up to you to the ticket to go in and
I don't know. It seems like that would be a great feature. A good,
I would think
You know, maybe it's Jackpocket 0.20.
Well, I think we need a feature where you buy a ticket and you send it into the lockbox, and if it wins, there you go.
Rosemary, there you go.
That's a great transition, Rose.
Thank you. Thank you. I teach transitions, yes.
So you have your served to you on a plate, Alan.
Yeah. Well, I just hate all of this. To be honest with you, I hate it all because I think, you know, people are being relieved of their money in a way that progressive taxation should handle for everything, as opposed to taking the money from the poor who have the most to lose and who are the people who are much of this is aimed at.
Yeah, if you make it a lot easier to bet and you don't really feel the money being handed over to the clerk at the convenience store, it may get a lot of people in debt quickly. And I'm sure that the Gamblers Anonymous folks would want to weigh in on that. And let's see if they do.
We only have about 5 minutes, 4 minutes left, maybe three.
Oh.
So two things. One, we'll remind you about the lockbox. Rosemary had a wonderful idea, and so if you have some tickets to cash in, for God's sakes, put it in the lockbox. WAMC.org, WAMC.org, or call 800-323-9262, or apparently you can send a check through the mail.
And that works very well, I understand.
Yes. It's 318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206. There is a picture of the lockbox tote on the page.
So that's quite a tote.
Yes.
It's made out of
bottles.
Bottles.
Yeah, the recycled
beverage bottles.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And the plastic bottles are whatever melted down, and they make this very cool strong tote
with the lockbox on it, a picture of the great lockbox.
That's right. So you can choose that for, I believe, $100, and it's WAMC.org. And we've got $143,000 in the bank. We're looking for $300,000, yesterday was almost $11,000. That wasn't bad. So
the great thing is it's increasing every day.
Right.
The flow is increasing.
This is the whoosh day. That you were talking
whoosh,
about yesterday.
The famous whoosh.
Yes.
It's my whoosh that this happened. As tortured as that might be, Rosemary.
Yeah, tortured metaphor, yeah, I would say.
All right.
Bad transition. I feel like I'm grading papers.
We're going to say goodbye now. So
we never got to talk about the good news about the ski slopes on Mars. I'm so disappointed.
Oh, that's right. We have a minute. So we found water on Mars.
Yes. What does it mean, Joe?
I don't know.
Salt water.
Oh, is it salt water on Mars? Yes.
And how do they know that? But anyway,
I don't know.
That's
spas.
Fascinating.
Cool.
Spas on Mars.
I'd go
for that.
Yeah, it can happen.
Mm-hmm. All right. There we go. That'll end our show for today. We'll be back tomorrow. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.